Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Let us pray. Oh, dear God, you indeed are worthy of it all. You know all needs, it's here. And God, the first thing we want to do this morning is say you're worthy of it all. Abba, Father, we trust you. Please help us this day, God, to be people, Lord, that our cup is filled up and that it's overflowing and that we're drinking from the saucer. And I mean that, God, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of all that's going on, because it's you living in us. And it's that power, God, that will see us through. So change our minds, our hearts, our souls, and help us, God, to be people who are overflowing with your love to our family, to our community, in the world. Because, God, you are worthy of it all. Begin with me. Begin with us. You are our loving Father, and we want to be like you. Now, we asked you now, Jesus, to give us your kindness, refresh our hearts this moment in time as we're here this day. God, we are transformed by you to bring hope to the people. We love you. We ask these things. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are on our Christmas initiative on week two, and we know that it is so important that we are being intentional every week leading up to our Christmas Advent season. So this is week two that we're doing our Christmas invitations, and today, you know, we've been asking you to pray about a name of someone that God has put on your heart that you need to invite them to church. So this day, yes, children, you are leaving, but you didn't need to leave yet. I haven't dismissed you yet. This is for y'all too to hear. We still have people in the back. They'll get you, but wait there because they're hearing this too, okay? So this morning when you arrive, as I said, okay, I got to regroup. You have these in the chairs, and this is for not you, but it's for your guest, okay? And it is also, you have a little gift box, and it is blank on the back. And that is for you to write on the card the name of the person that God is wanting you to invite. Now, we have more than one card. We have more than one gift box. So maybe God's asking you to invite multiple people. But I can tell you what, Christmas time is the time of the year that when you invite people to church, then, hey, you know, they'll take you up on it. They will actually come to church. So when you begin to pray for that person, God will give you favor. So we invited you last week to pray about who that would be. And today what we want to do is take action by writing their names down. We've got a manger up front. And that's for you at any time in the service, that you can come forward and put the name of your person in the manger as an offering. And kids, that means you. You also have friends that's in school with you, friends that you know, family members that you knew it was going to take you to invite that person to come. And you can trust us. We're not going to put their names up on the wide screens or anything like this. This is something when you put their name in that offering of that manger there, Pastor Jared and I are committed to pray with you for your name. So that is symbolic of that you're putting it there as an offering to God. You're offering that person to the Lord, but we're going to come beside of you and we're going to be praying. See what the Lord does as you pray intentionally for that person, and we pray with you. So now is the time for the children to go in the back. We've got wonderful leaders waiting to teach you about Jesus, yes, to sing songs and enjoy delicious snacks. So thank you, little ones, for waiting. Well, today is generosity again, yes, but you can't get too much. So first and foremost, God is a generous God. And to follow the model of the Father is to be exceedingly generous. Generosity is essential to the heart of Christ. And the mission of the church is generosity. Today, we're continuing in our teaching series on generosity. And with, you know, the truth of God and the facts about a cheerful giver. And friends, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh no, another message on giving. Well, before your eyes start rolling, remember that generosity is not about God needing something from you. It is about Him wanting something for you. Our goal in this series is to see God's generous heart lived through us. Giving, like many aspects of the Christian life, is a journey. And we begin at a particular point, and we progress over time. So to withhold generosity is to forget who we are as a follower of Jesus. The scripture today is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, and the scripture will also be on the screen. We give because God sows bountifully. Verse 6, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Generosity. In short, this passage teaches that generosity is an act of faith, where we trust God to provide for us so that we can, in turn, be agents of His grace and provision for others. It provides the essential theology for Christian generosity, moving from the principle of sowing to the promise of provision. The Word of God speaks it all. I want to pray again, because we're talking about generosity, so I know we need it. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you now at this moment asking you to meet us where we are. We invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to fill this place and God to fill our heart. May our minds be attentive to your divine truth you long to embed within us. We confess that our hearts often have gone where they are grown closed, Lord. They're fearful. We're hesitant. And especially, God, in times of that talks about giving. So So we, God, help us not to worry about sufficiency and holding on tight to what is only temporary in this world. We ask you, Father, specifically, that you would transform us into people of generosity in all areas, God, of our life. God, please help me, help us to be generous with our faith, that we might boldly share the hope we have in Christ. Father, help us, help me to be generous with our time, with our talents, that we might be willingly to give of our energy, God, the skills to serve the church, to serve others. And Jesus, please help me. Help us to be generous with our treasures, that we might give freely and cheerfully. And Lord, please help me and help us to give our touch. Help us to become friends to the friendless. Help us, God, not to be people of judgment. Please help us in our relationships to others to convey the love of Christ, to whom that you have assigned to us to stand in front of us at the cash register, at food line, God, at the gas station, wherever it may be. Father, you've put them in front of us at that very moment in time. So, God, we know that all people are important to you. So start the transformation process with me. God, fill me, fill us. Lord, we are asking that we would be an offering, that we would just, God, jump into the offering plate this day, that you would help us to live a generous life that reflects your boundless giving to us, and remove our reluctance and replace it with the joy of giving. Please open our hearts, Lord, now to receive this truth that we will live in freedom. We commit this time to you, asking your presence and your power. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we ask these things in your holy name we pray. Amen. God isn't focused on the amount of our generosity. You know the story of the widow's mite. He's focused on the quality of our generosity. He loves a cheerful giver. Our generosity is a response to God's generosity. The law of the harvest, verse 6. The first principle of generosity is that it is a response to God's immense giving, not an act of self-sufficiency. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The law of the harvest, the Apostle Paul uses, is a simple farming analogy. If you plant more seeds, you'll have more crops. It's just that simple. And I know we have farmers in the room. God is the ultimate sower who provided his one and only Son. Our salvation is the proof of God's limitless, bountiful generosity. We are simply mirroring his nature. A little bit later in verse 8 it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." 2 Corinthians 9:8. God promises to make all that is needed for every good work. God provides not so we can hoard, but so we can keep on sowing. Generosity is the fruit of a sanctified heart. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This verse describes the character of a cheerful giver. True generosity transforms the giver's character. It is a fruit of holiness, connecting directly to the Nazarene emphasis on entire sanctification. The Greek word for cheerful is hilaros. We get the word hilarious from it. God loves an excited, joyful giver. Reluctance proves that the heart is still grasping its possessions. Cheerfulness proves the heart trusts God completely. The picture of this church is in Tampa, Florida, and that's Opal. Okay, it was taken in 1998, shortly before I moved back home to Elton. This photo features my stepfather, my precious mama that's in heaven, and Opal to the right. And Miss Opal, she is remembered for famously paying off the Tampa Church of God building, which celebrated its 100th anniversary in 2020. Now that's the kind of heart that my friend Miss Opal had. Opal Rush is now in heaven, but her favorite saying still echoes with me 27 years later. You can't outgive God. Opal's legacy is that of generosity. She lived a life of generosity all the way to her final days. Opal, a beloved hairdresser by trade, loved to share how God had blessed her life. Opal would be linking those blessings directly to her commitment to giving. Opal had a deep heart for the lost, and it was especially focused on the inner city children near 22nd Street, near Bush Boulevard and Fowler in Tampa, Florida. Shortly after her husband, Brother Rush, also in hairdressing, he was a barber, passed away, Opal made a monumental decision. She told me she was going to pay off the church mortgage entirely, because she wanted that monthly payment to go directly towards missions. Now, I confess, I was young, totally ignorant to the concept of such radical generosity. I asked Opal, "Well, why do you want to spend all your money to pay the mortgage off?" And then I asked, "Where are you going to get that kind of money from?" Opal was a dear soul who didn't have a lot, didn't live above her means, and I truly couldn't believe that she had enough money to clear the entire debt. Yet, Opal withdrew her life savings and paid every dime to settle the church mortgage. She was ecstatic, knowing the burden was lifted and the funds would now flow straight into sharing the gospel. We're going to circle back to Miss Opal later. Generosity brings glory to God. The promise of abundance, verse 8. Paul assures believers that their generosity will not leave them in need. God promises to make all grace abound to them. The purpose of this abundant blessing is twofold: personal sufficiency, which means that's to ensure that we have all that we need, that we always have all that we need. And then a missional abundance to enable us to abound in every good work. These are quotes when I do this. So, yes, the point establishes the foundational truth that generosity is not an obligation, but a privileged response to the abundance of God. God is the ultimate sower. The very first, greatest act of generosity was God sowing his son, Jesus. Jesus Christ on the cross, John 3:16. He didn't sow sparingly. He gave his only son for you and me and the whole world. Our salvation is proof of God's limitless, bountiful generosity. The principle of reciprocity, not a reward. Okay, the concept of sowing and reaping is often misinterpreted as a financial guarantee. Give 100, get 1,000 back. Paul is teaching a spiritual principle of increase and sufficiency. C.S. Lewis said, "The only safe rule is to give more than you can spare." When you sow with a generous spirit, that spirit is multiplied back to you. When you trust God with your resources, he promises to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. In the wake of Hurricane Helene, in late September 2024, our community sprang into action. Volunteers in this service right now and volunteers in our first service at the East Rock campus, our Harrisonburg campus, they joined forces with the Compassion Church of the Nazarene in Lynchburg, and they traveled to Asheville to deliver vital aid. The work on the ground was immediate, and it was practical. Property cleaning, clearing massive fallen trees from damaged properties. Essential aid. Cash was donated for a food pantry to purchase necessities, and a large quantity of food was delivered directly to people in need. Repairs. We assisted with necessary electrical wiring repairs. I encourage you to speak with some of the very people that you know and love at this East Rock campus, the team of Frankie and Vicki Waldrop, Tim and Valerie Link, Lee Shiflett, Kenny Herring, Bill Kingry, and let me say this, okay, Bill's older. He's in the older generation role. He won't mind me saying that. He loves me. That means all ages can serve, all right, young and old. They traveled to Asheville to deliver vital aid. The work on the ground was immediate and it was practical. We went to bless and help and came back feeling deeply blessed to be serving on the ground and making a difference for God's glory. The ministry often works closely with state and local recovery efforts, focusing on the essential human and spiritual element of the crisis. The response to these disasters demonstrates the regional aspect of our church's generosity, ensuring that our Nazarene neighbors and communities near, yes, last night was near, right here in this building it happened, but far, that they all receive practical aid and the hope of Christ in their greatest moments of need. Generosity, in short, the 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 through 8 teaches that generosity is the act of faith where we trust God to provide for us so that we can, in turn, be agents of his grace and provision for others. The rapid response efforts of the Church of the Nazarene are a key part of its larger global compassion ministry, which is officially called Nazarene Compassion Ministries. It's known as NCM. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, NCM, is the relief and the development arm of the Church of the Nazarene. The works includes emergency relief disaster response. This covers the rapid response. the aspect of addressing needs and after the natural effects of man-made disasters. And it's sometimes it's referred to as a natural Nazarene disaster response, the NDR in the USA and Canada region, the Nazarene disaster response. Holistic child development, including the child sponsorship program. We help children that are needy. We adopt them in and we help. The community development and social transformation that addresses issues like poverty, hunger, health, and clean water. So the rapid response initiatives are how the Nazarene Compassionate Ministries and our local church, that's us right here, that's our Harrisonburg campus, that's our Waynesboro campus, that's our Churches of the Nazarene around the world, we provide immediate and long-term care in the face of crisis around the world. Our engagement with human suffering is holistic. And most recently, our four campuses came together, we united for a powerful act of compassion by assembling the crisis care kits. These kits are a practical and an immediate way our Nazarene District Rapid Relief Team assists communities when crisis hits, showcasing the generosity of the church. And we're gonna watch a short video about Nazarene missions.
Father, send me. This is the prayer that the Church of the Nazarene has prayed from the very beginning as she sent her people into the world, a world that desperately needs Christ's transformational love. Today, we are part of a global movement in which God is actively redeeming his creation, restoring the broken through his beautiful gift of salvation offered to all. We have been called to partner with him in this movement. This is why Nazarene Missions exists, to share his love, compassion, and peace as we start new Nazarene churches around the world. Entire communities are being transformed through the partnerships and relationships developed by our local churches. Nazarene missionaries are partnering with local ministers and lay leaders to bring restoration, share the gospel, and build sustainability within these communities. As each church body is developed, Nazarene Missions provides ongoing resources that help the church be effective in ministry and outreach. Our partnership ensures that the local church has a collective and immediate impact, an impact that will last for generations to come. You and I are vital to this movement, a movement that is answering the call to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. This is only made possible through your prayer, your partnership, and your generous sacrificial giving. Nazarene Missions is a movement of God through the people of God.
The response for me today and for everyone here is to live a life of generosity. Live your life, friends, with your hands open. The call to generosity is a call to discipleship. It's an opportunity to prove the depth of our trust in our bountiful sower, Jesus Christ. We're not called to give out of compulsion, but out of a cheerful conviction. The true barrier to being a cheerful giver is not a lack of funds. It is a lack of faith, a place in our heart where we still hold back from God. That's money, that's resources of your time, that's resources of your talents. What does it mean to truly sow abundantly? I saw it lived out generously in the heart of Opal Rush. Now, this is the rest of the story for Miss Opal. As I leaned in close to tell Opal that the story of the service, of how the debt was finally gone and her gift realized, a miracle happened. Though Miss Opal was physically paralyzed, she was in a coma. She began to cry, then weep. The gift was done. The debt was gone. That, my friends, is the harvest of sowing generously. Opal Rush, who gave more than she could spare, received a profound reward, not in wealth or health, but in the deepest form of blessing, the realization of her heart's desire. In a moment, when she had nothing left to give, she was given the grace to know that her seed, her life-changing gift, she'd given it to God, and it had accomplished its purpose. That church is thriving in Tampa, Florida now. They're right in the middle of inner city, and they are doing missions in the biggest way. The life of Opal Rush is a powerful testimony that proves the truth of the scripture. You truly can't outgive God. Her generous sowing resulted in an emotional, spiritual reaping that no earthly compensation could ever touch. Our call to action is to sow generously. And I'm wondering, are you going to answer the call? And it's different ways to answer. Yes, money. But will you give of your time? Will you give of your touch? Would you do what God's saying to do today? Will you answer the call? Will you sow with the same generosity as Opal, confident that you will have all that is needed because God promises to make all grace abound to you? Opal's life was a testimony to the fact that when you invest in God's kingdom, you always receive the greatest return. She gave all that she had, and in doing so, she secured a legacy that is still blessing the church, still funding missions today and being heard about here because she touched me so many years ago. Her final selfless act reminds us of two things. Generosity is not about abundance. It's about availability. Opal didn't have excess wealth, but she gave her life savings to advance the kingdom. Every single gift has eternal impact. Her desire was simple, to turn a debt payment into a mission offering, and that vision lives on. So I challenge you today, look past the immediate. What small sacrifice can you make today that will result in an internal impact? Embrace the truth of Opal's famous saying, do you truly believe that you can't outgive God? I mean, put that faith to test this week. I want to be clear this morning so you don't leave this place saying, you know, God is calling you to bankruptcy. That's not what that pastor said in the pulpit, okay? God's calling you to a blessing that you can't outgive God. He promises to pour back to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Trust him today with the deepest, most guarded part of your life, and he will provide the seed for the sower. and a harvest that brings glory to his name. Paul's words are a holy challenge. So I have to ask, is your giving a joyful response or a reluctant duty? Generosity. It's two ways you can respond today. It's a call to surrender. You're not like this, but you're surrendering. It's sanctification. If your giving is hesitant and reluctant, I'm inviting you today to ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify your finances, your time, everything. Give it to God. Jump in the offering plate today, people. Ask God to free you from worry, from fear, from grasping that makes you a sparing sower. It's a call to a commitment. It's a call to a partnership. If you've never committed to a purposeful, bountiful pattern of generosity, if you've been sparing where God calls you to be bountiful, today you can commit to being a faithful partner in the harvest. There's not a certain age. There's no age limitations. Everybody's welcome. You can serve in the nursery. You can serve in Kid City. You can help with coffee. You can be a greeter. You can hold signs. You can pray. There's different ways to serve. You can serve at EAUS. You can serve at Hope Distributed. Will you give of yourself? Will you give what God is saying for you to give today? All of you, where you are in your life, will you give and be generous as the Lord has been? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we invite you now to work a miracle of sanctification in our finances. Now that word is tied to money, it seems like, but our finances of our time, the finances of our touch to be friendly to that person that people walk on the other side of the street, to be kind in our finances that we hold our tongue when we want to say something different. God, in our finances of serving in our local church, of going out into the community and serving, of our finances, God, that everything belongs to you. Oh, Jesus, we are so blessed. Father, Abba, we thank you for this opportunity to be faithful partners in the great harvest. And we dedicate ourselves right now. We are establishing, God, that habit that we're going to be intentional people of generosity that honors you, that puts a smile on your face, that your kids are doing it. We're mirroring you in our words and in our actions. Oh, Father, thank you for your faithfulness. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.